Members of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee heard from three victims of identity theft, but a very specific kind of identity theft. Scammers had stolen enough personal information to file phony tax returns in their names and get refunds. When the real taxpayers tried to file, the IRS told them their returns were duplicates. That led to, in at least one case, more than a year and a lot of haggling before the true taxpayers got their refunds. Douglas Shulman is IRS commissioner.
I just want to personally apologize to the taxpayers sitting behind me. I had a chance to talk with them and apologize to them personally. I know that they had a frustrating experience with the IRS. As the head of the IRS, which serves 140 million individual taxpayers, I always stress to our employees that we need to walk in each taxpayer's shoes and understand their specific situation and needs.
But the victims who testified before the Subcommittee on Government Organizations said that's not what they encountered. Sharon Hawa, a taxpayer from New York, first had her tax return rejected as a duplicate in 2009.
Scared and in shock, I immediately took measures to secure all of my personal assets, credit reports, and accounts. I obtained a police report filed with the Federal Trade Commission and mailed in hard copies of my returns to various IRS addresses as instructed by different units within the IRS. After 12 months of back and forth confusion, the IRS's Identity Protection Specialized Unit assigned me to an incredibly rude and hard to reach taxpayer advocate where I had to explain my situation, resubmit the documents, and prove my identity all over again. It took a painstaking 14 months until I finally received my $6,604 refund. Meanwhile, I had to take on a second job to support myself and spend a lot of time, money, and energy drafting letters and sending in the necessary information.
But that wasn't the end. This year, someone got a bogus refund using her Social Security number again. She says she has yet to successfully reach an identity theft specialist at the IRS for this year's case. The IRS stresses that they are not the cause of identity theft in these cases. Thieves have stolen personal information in some other way, then used it to file for a fraudulent refund, but Shulman says they are focusing on spotting those phony tax returns before a refund is sent out.
We put markers on accounts, which puts heightened scrutiny on those accounts when they came through. The key to those markers is setting up the right filters that block the criminals and don't put too much burden on the victims. While not perfect, we've gotten a lot better. 2 years ago, 80% of the returns that were tripped by our filters ended up being legitimate taxpayers. This year, that's almost reversed. 75% of the tripped returns ended up being the fraudulent taxpayers. So we're going to keep getting better every year.
And they'll need to. The crime is growing every year. According to the Government Accountability Office, there were 52,000 identity theft fraud incidents on tax returns in 2008. Last year, the number grew to 248,000. Shulman says it's difficult to tell how many people were involved in committing those crimes. He says since identity theft is now a major organized crime, syndicates may be responsible for many of those numbers. But lawmakers are concerned that a lack of prosecutions in refund fraud cases are providing a big incentive for criminals to keep doing it. Adolphus Towns, the ranking member of the subcommittee, says that's somewhat understandable from the IRS's point of view, given their limited investigative resources.
I mean, how much do you want to spend to collect $500? You know, so I think that we have to look at this, and I think we have a role to play here, and it's not just the blame game. I think it's that we need to do some things legislatively to sort of make it possible for anybody that takes anybody else's money that they should be charged.
Members of Congress are considering the idea of changing privacy laws so that the IRS can share information with state and local law enforcement so they can go after some of the crimes involving lower dollar amounts. The lack of an ability to do that is an issue identified by the Government Accountability Office. Jim White, GAO's Director of Strategic Issues, says they also made recommendations for some longer-term improvements that could help cut refund fraud.
But for example, right now, IRS does not match tax returns to the wage statements, the W-2s that employers file until months after the filing season ends. The first match is done in June. Part of the reason for that is employers don't have to send those information returns to IRS until either the end of February or the end of March. Then IRS matches later. So the refunds go out the door first, and then that kind of matching is done afterwards. If IRS can modernize their processing systems, and if the due date for those employer wage statements could be moved earlier in the year, IRS could do matching before refunds go out and catch more refund fraud. But that's like, this is something that's years away. They're working on their processing systems, but they're not where they need to be right now.
One shorter-term measure that could cut repeat fraud is the use of secret PIN numbers issued by the IRS. Taxpayers who've been victims before would get a new PIN number in the mail from the IRS every year. A return that included the number would breeze through. A return without it would be rejected. The IRS is piloting a system like that right now, and Shulman says they want to make more use of it. But none of the three victims at the hearing were issued PINs. Shulman promised to make sure that was changed, and he promised, as a result of the hearing, to undertake a comprehensive review of the training IRS employees get for dealing with victims of identity theft. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.